John's Gospel, chapter 14, I draw your attention to the words of Jesus in verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Christ's peace. Christ's peace. My peace, he says. We might well ask, what has the Lord Jesus got to offer us? What has the Lord Jesus got to offer us, sinners? What has he got to offer us that the world doesn't have? If the worldling, the down and out, and the depressed, and the fallen, and the poor and needy, or any man, or any woman, or any sinner, if they come to the Bible, or if they come to any minister of the gospel, and they would ask, what has the Lord Jesus got to offer me? That's a good question that sinners could ask. What has the Lord Jesus got to offer me? What would we tell them? Or to put it another way, ask them what they are looking for. Ask the sinner. Ask the worldling. Ask the down and out. Ask the depressed. Ask the fallen. Ask the poor and needy. Ask the young people. Ask them what are they seeking. What is it that you need? And I think the answer to both questions is this word, peace. Mankind is in the pursuit for peace. Man might not know that. They might not put that down as the word that they would particularly use. But that is what they're searching for. That's what they've formed the great organizations for, the United Nations. That's why they built hospitals. It's for peace. Peace of the nations and peace of mind and peace of body. It's a search for peace, contentment, tranquility. All men are looking that. Rest, contentment. Mankind can't find it, but they're looking for it. And since the fall in the Garden of Eden, that's what they've been looking, you know. They've been looking peace. Adam and Eve had it. They had peace. What peace they had in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden before sin came. They were in perfect peace, perfect harmony, perfect tranquility. They had it. They enjoyed it. They possessed it. In the cool of the day with God, with the Creator, and with all the animals and with all the creatures. But then sin came. And when sin came, the lost peace. The lost peace. It's the first thing that went. And it went completely. And they never got it back again. They never regained it. And you study the first family after the fall. It's a family without peace. They lost that innocence. And they had no peace about their bodies. They had to sew together leaves. They had to run and hide. They had no peace with God. They were disturbed by God when he walked in the garden in the cool of the day. They had lost the peace of the mind. They had lost the peace of conscience. They'd lost the tranquility, and now there's just the dread of God. And then they had their children. And one of the children they called Abel, which means breath. And it has the idea of vanity. He's just a breath. That's all he is. He's just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Vanity. They even called their son vanity. And then Cain murdered Abel, and he lied about it, and he covered over death and the destruction, and the land went into turmoil. And there were weeds and there were thorns. They had no peace in the garden, and they were driven out from the garden. There was no peace. It was all gone. And it was a great thing that they could never find again. The Bible says, there is no peace for the wicked. No peace. The Bible says concerning all sinners that the way of peace they don't know. They know not the way of peace. They try to find it. And sometimes they think they find it and they walk it, but they find it's not. They don't know the way of peace. And there's no judgment in their goings. And everything's crooked. All their paths are crooked. And whoever goes in all those crooked paths, they never know peace. That's what the Bible says. And sinners say, like the words from Jeremiah, we look for peace. We'll look for it. But none came. Well, here in our text is one who has it. Here in our text is one who's speaking and says, my peace. The first Adam lost it, and mankind has never regained it. And Adam could never say, my peace. I've lost it. I brought trouble and toil to humanity. But then one day, the last Adam came. Jesus Christ. And he said, my peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, give I you. So this last Adam, Jesus Christ, possesses it. And so if I was to ask, what has Jesus Christ got to offer? Here's the answer. Peace. Perfect peace. And that's our subject tonight, Christ's peace. A peace, first of all, he possesses. A peace he provides. And a peace he presents. Christ's peace. It's a peace that he possesses in himself. He says, my peace. There came into this world a man who knows all about it. One who knows what it is. One who enjoys it himself. Whenever Jesus was born, a vessel of peace was brought into this world. He was led in circumstances that were not peaceful. A manger, an animal's feeding trough, a herd who's angry and soon on the pursuit of his life. But there was led in that manger one who had perfect peace. My peace, he says. I have it in here, he says. My peace. He was as full of peace as he was of grace and truth. And you remember how the angels sang that day, how they said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign. You'll find him lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. And then after he'd made that announcement, all the angels appeared and they were praising God. And they said, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. Peace has arrived on earth. It's come. It hasn't been here before. It's never been on earth before since the fall. But now he's here. Peace is on earth now. He's been laid in the manger. Peace. Peace on earth. That was something never was on the earth before. Unto you is born this day. Peace. Unto us the prophet said, a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And this is his name. He'll be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's born today.
He has peace. And he's a Prince of Peace. And peace characterizes him. And peace characterizes his rule and his reign and his kingdom. Peace. It's a Prince of Peace who speaks these words. My peace. My peace. I give to you sinners. So let me say, Jesus possessed it. And he possessed it in the experience of it. Himself. Whenever he says, my peace, he means that he has it in his own heart, in his own experience, in his own life. He's not carrying peace like water in a vessel. And he's not enjoying it himself. You know, this water's for somebody else. And I can't drink it. No, it's his peace. And he's enjoying it. And he's experiencing it. And it's filling his heart and his life. And he's offering it. He's offering it to sinners. My peace, the peace that I have, I'll give to you. That's wonderful peace. And so he has the experience of this peace. The Lord Jesus was not a disturbed man. We are all disturbed people. Because we're sinners. We're disturbed. But you study the life of the Lord Jesus. He's not a disturbed man. He has a wonderful tranquility. He's content. He's in control. He's at rest. Whatever the crisis, he's not disturbed. He hasn't got a disturbed conscience because he's no sin. He has peace. And whenever the Pharisees come, he can say, my peace. You can't disturb it. He doesn't behave irrationally the way we do in the presence of others. Others behave around us badly or wrongly, and we get disturbed and agitated. We lose our tranquility. But Jesus doesn't. He has peace, perfect peace, even in the midst of the storm. How could you go to someone who hasn't got peace? How could you go to someone for peace who hasn't even got it himself? You don't go to someone for healing who's sick and poorly and can't heal themselves of all their ailments. They've got this cold and that cold and all the rest. You wouldn't go to them to find out how to be healed of your ailments. And so with someone who's depressed and disturbed, you wouldn't go to them to find help. You wouldn't go to them to find, they're not an advertisement for help. You wouldn't go to a depressed man to get out of your depression. You wouldn't go to someone who has no peace to get peace yourself. The Lord Jesus was not a disturbed man. He had perfect peace. My peace. He is a perfect advertisement for peace. Think of what he has suffered and what he is to suffer. Think of all his enemies that he faces. And here this night he says, my peace. He's about to go to the cross. He's about to shed his blood. He's about to be hung, as it were, on the tree. And what's he talking about? My peace, my peace. And he's comforting his disciples. He's not saying, oh, do you not feel sorry for me? Help me in my troubles. He's not like that. He's helping them. He's comforting them. He's upholding and sustaining them. He's telling them, don't you let your hearts be troubled. My peace. He has perfect peace. He faced Satan. He faced sinners and he faced sin. But he is always perfectly composed. Perfectly tranquil. Perfectly resigned to the Father's will and to providence. And here in the upper room, he manifests that so perfectly and completely. I think of him that night when he went to Gadara on the boat. You remember the storm and the water went into the boat? And what's the Lord Jesus doing? He's asleep. He's asleep in the boat. My peace. Oh, there's a storm and there's a raging. And the disciples have no peace. They're troubled.
Master, you're not cured. We're perishing. We're going to drown. And he's asleep. My peace. Oh, wonderful peace. Wonderful peace Jesus has. And that's what he gives his people. My peace. I give you. And then I think of him on the land, facing the storm was bad enough. And he has peace. And then he goes onto the land and he sees this man and he's full of demons. He's full of demons. And everybody's terrified of him. And they have chains hanging from him that he's broken. And everybody stays away from him. And you certainly wouldn't go near to him in a dark night when the moon's shining full, as we believe it was that night. And Jesus just marches up to him. What is thy name? What is thy name? My peace. He has neither fear or dread or terror. What's your name? Would any of us march up to Legion and say, what's your name? He has perfect peace. And you just study the earthly life of Christ and you'll find that he has something that we have not. And he has something that no man has ever had. And that this world knows nothing about. He is the greatest advert for peace that there is. Thus he is called the Prince of Peace because he walked with perfect peace in his heart. My peace. And if you want to know what that peace is like, what it's really like, and if you want to know what you should be experiencing, child of God in Christ, then you study the life of Jesus. You study his tranquility and his contentment in the face of all adversity and all problems. That's what peace is. And that's what we should have in him. Because he's promised to give it to us. So he possesses it. But not only does Christ possess it, my peace. He provides peace for sinners. He says, peace I leave with you. And then to define it more carefully, the kind of peace that it is, my peace that I have, I give to you. He provides it for us, this peace. Let not your hearts be troubled. I have provided it for you. I'm not keeping it all to myself. No, I'm not keeping it all to myself. It's for you. And so he possesses it in the purchase of it for sinners. He is like a well of peace. Yes, he's enjoying it himself. He's drinking from it himself. He's partaking of it himself. But he also is possessing it for sinners to possess and experience as well. He's a reservoir of peace. Purchase peace. He's come down full of peace to provide for us. And he provides it for those who do not possess it, who were born without it and who lived void of it until they met him. You see, our enjoyment of peace is different from Christ's enjoyment. He enjoys it because he is sinless. And he has perfect trust in his Father and perfect conviction about his Father's promises. And he's never done a wrong thing once. And he hasn't got a shadow over his mind or a shadow over his conscience. His enjoyment of the peace is very different from ours. It's perfect in him. And he's perfectly at one with his Father
And he has a full enjoyment of it in himself. But you see, we don't enjoy peace like that. It's not in us. It's not our peace. It's his peace imparted to us. It's an outside alien peace that comes into us. And he provides it. He provides it. And it's real. And it's felt. And it's experienced. It's real. This is a real thing that he's talking about. And we can't enjoy it the way he does, and it's not in us naturally, because you see, there's a problem of sin. And sin has disturbed us. It's disturbed our minds. We're disturbed. We're all mental cases, every one of us. Every one of us are mental cases because of sin. Every one of us are disturbed. Of all some form of disturbance or others, I know you can look at one or two people and say, they're disturbed, they're mentally disturbed. But what's true of those who you might select just individually is true of you and it's true of me. We're all disturbed. We're all disturbed sinners. And I'll tell you, a tablet doesn't fix it. Doesn't fix it. Now, it may help some symptoms, but it doesn't get to the problem. The problem is self. And the problem is sin wrapped up in self. The problem is conscience is in turmoil. The problem is God is offended. The problem is we've done wrong and we've broke his law. And there's no peace to us swelling up inside us naturally. There's no peace to the wicked. Our hearts are at enmity with God. We're out of fellowship and out of communion, and there's no peace. We embrace sin. And to give us this peace, Christ must purchase it at great cost. Because you see, there's a problem of the divine justice and righteousness. A God has been offended. We've been at war with him. And the chief thing is that God has to be reconciled to us, and we have to be reconciled to God. And it is the Prince of Peace who hath to do that work and has to purchase this vessel so that he can give it freely to sinners. He has to do a work. And that's why he's going to the cross. He has to do a work towards God to reconcile him. And that's what he's going to the cross to do. And then he has to do a work in us. And that's why he's just talked about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He's the one who's going to do the work in us. But Christ himself has to purchase it. Christ has to possess this peace to give to sinners. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. And that's what it has to do. Righteousness and peace have to kiss each other. And that happened at the cross. When Jesus shed his blood, they kissed each other. And now peace can come to us in righteousness. And so Christ did something at the cross. The Bible describes it as he was made the propitiation for our sins. The Bible says, having made peace through the blood of his cross. The blood of his cross made the peace. We sometimes sing, don't we? Jehovah bid his sword awake. O Christ that woke against thee, thy blood the flaming blade must slick. Thy heart its sheath must be. All for my sake, my peace to make. Now sleeps that sword for me. There's no peace till that sword sleeps. When Adam and Eve traversed the Garden of Eden, they saw the sword. There was a sword that turned every way.
They couldn't get back into that garden again. They couldn't get back into the peace. They couldn't get back into the tranquility because of the sword of divine justice. But it fell on Jesus, and it's gone now. And we can get right back into the tree of life now. Back into the tranquility. Back into the peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace through the blood of his cross. And so it was set forth in the Lord's Supper. He's just said just before this, "This is my blood." He had to say that first before he said, "My peace I give unto you." He had to say, "This is my blood which is shed for you. Now I give you my peace." My peace. There's no peace without his blood. No peace without his death. Do you remember how he appeared to the disciples? We read it. He appeared to the disciples and says, "Peace, peace be unto you." And then he showed them his hands and his side. Why? Because that's the grounds of peace. It's not an empty peace. It's a real purchased peace. It's real. And so all the provision for peace is in him and in him alone. And in his life, he spoke as one who could impart it powerfully. As one who had the power to impart it. And you see him in the storm. What did he do? He arose and rebuked the storm, and he said to the storm, "Peace, be still." He has power to impart it. Do you remember the woman who had no peace? And she went to the doctors and she spent everything she had, and she never found peace. Always she had the flow of blood. Always she had the shame and the humiliation. Always she had the fear of going out into public. Always she had the fear of bumping into people in her unclean state. And she had the fear even when she touched Jesus. What did he say to her? "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Go in peace." He provides it here, he says, not as the world gives. Oh, the world gives peace. Oh, yes, the world says, "Here's peace. Here's peace. Try this. This is peace." The world has its peace methods and its peace means, but they don't work. But it has a big advertising campaign offering peace to the people. And you know, that's why so many people do not come to Jesus Christ. They go to the world for peace. They'll try the world for peace first. And they'll take years. And they'll go down this avenue of the world, and they'll go down that avenue of the world. And the years will pass, and time will pass. And by the time they find out there's no peace in the world, it's too late. And they never get it. He says, "My peace is not like the world's peace." Let me tell you about the world's peace. How does the world give peace? How does the world try to experience peace? What do they do? What does a worldling do to get peace? Well, one of the things that they do is denial. Deny the problem. Just don't face the facts. Just put it out of your mind. Put death out of your mind. Put that sin and that wrong that you did, put it out of your mind. Just put it out of your mind. Deny it. Oh, don't face it. Go into denial. Refuse to face up to it. Shut the door to it. Just pull down the blinds. Pull down the blinds and don't face it. Don't face it, you're going to die. Don't face it, there's a God you have to stand before. Don't face that there's a hell. Go into denial. The world tries that. It has all these religions crop up. They say, "No hell, no hell." They just deny it. "Oh, you'll get peace in this place. Just know there's no hell. And just know that death is really just the end of your body. That's it. You just go into the grave and it's all over." Denial. Not facing up to reality. "Oh, I don't give you peace like that." In denial. I tell you the truth, I tell you the facts, I tell you all the truth. It's the truth that will set you free. You don't get peace in the denial. You don't get peace in covering it all up and pretending it's not there. I don't give peace like the world gives, he says. That's one way how it gives peace. Another method is diversion. Oh, go to the cinema. Whenever you go into the cinema, you're just in this wee world, and all outside is shut out, and you're distracted, and that gives you peace. Because you're distracted, and you have your mind on something else, just have something else to occupy your mind with. Get a hobby. Get a hobby and get into it, and spend all your time in it, and that'll give you peace. That'll give you real peace. That's how the world thinks. Just get busy, or get more work, or give more hours to your employment. Just let your mind be distracted. Don't sit on your own in the house and have all these thoughts going through your mind. Don't sit on your own and think about your heart and how great a sinner you are. Don't sit on your own and pray to God. Oh no, you have to get out and get busy and get active. You know, that's how the world works. You get peace and diversion. Pleasure. Go on holidays more often. Oh, go on holidays. That'll give you a lift. That'll bring you peace. That'll solve all the problems. Just go away on holidays every couple of months. That's how the world works. He says, I don't give peace like the world gives it. Another method is positive thinking. Oh, just think positively. Or go and hear a clown. Or sort of just say the opposite to what you fear. Just say the opposite. Oh, there's no hell. There's no hell. Just think positively. God is all merciful. Everybody's going to be saved. Just think positive. Don't get negative. Just have this wishful thinking. It'll all work out. It'll all sort itself out in the end. Just wishful thinking. You know, the word shalom was very often on the lips of the Jews. It mostly just expressed well-wishing. Mere well-wishing. You read about it so often in the Bible. Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. Go in peace. And even Jonathan said to David, go in peace, as if that would sort all his problems out. Saul will still be running after him, and Jonathan will soon be lying dead on the mountains of Gilboa. Go in peace. Go in peace. Just wishful thinking. The world's peace is just wishful thinking. It'll all work out, David. My father, he turned out okay in the end. It'll all be okay. Wishful thinking. Go in peace. Jesus says, my peace isn't like not just a mere wishful thinking. His peace is unique. Another method is drugs and chemicals and alcohol. Why is the industry so vast? The alcohol industry. Why is the drug industry so vast? Even though it's illegal, illicit, and there's money, massive amounts of money flowing through hands and passing through, keeping some economies going in the third world, this drugs business. Why is it so vast? Why? Because people don't have peace. That's why. And people will buy it, and they'll even inject things into their bodies, and they'll take tablets, and they'll even go to the doctors. Can you give me something for peace? Can you give me something for the peace of mind? I'm disturbed. Can you give me a chemical in my body that'll sort it all out? And the world say, yes, yes, we will. We'll have something with people working in laboratories and they're coming up all the time with these things. But let me tell you, it doesn't bring peace. Doesn't? Now, I will grant that it will help some symptoms and ease some effects. But it doesn't get down to the root problem, which is usually often denied. Sin. Self and sin. It's not the answer. The world's method doesn't work. And Jesus doesn't use these methods. He doesn't say, I give you peace like the world gives you. He says, I'll give you peace, and it's not like the way the world does it. It's not like that. And so Jesus doesn't divert from the problem. And Jesus doesn't clown around and bring a wee atmosphere that makes everybody all happy. You know the way some ministers are able to do that in liberal churches? They have this ability to clown around and get everybody feeling good. It's just psychological, that's all it is. Jesus doesn't work that way. He doesn't work that way. He gets down to the root. My peace, not like the world giveth, give I unto you. And so he gets down to the problem. And then lastly, very quickly, we needn't be long on it, he presents this peace to sinners. He's not just a reservoir of peace, full but shut up and closed off and concealed. No, he's an open reservoir. And he's the provision of it's freely offered. And he leaves it, and he gives it, and he offers it. And that's why he raises up preachers, that they'll go out as the ambassadors, telling sinners, be reconciled unto God. There's peace. You can have peace. We preach a gospel of peace. It's not a gospel that denies the facts. It tells you as it is, black as it is, it tells you. Tells you the truth. It makes you face up to the reality. It opens all the blinds and lets you see and hear. But it shows you the remedy in Jesus Christ. And he preaches peace. The word which God sent on to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all, Lord of peace. And so that's what's preached tonight. And the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of them. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Not every gospel preacher has necessarily a pleasing personality. But I tell you this. Every true gospel preacher has beautiful feet to those who he brings the gospel to. The gospel of peace. Freely offered to sinners. Paul said to the Ephesians, he came and preached peace to you. Which were afar off, you Ephesians. He came and preached peace to you. And it's received by faith. It's not merited or earned. It's of grace. And it's in Jesus Christ. So take him. Come to him. Believe in him. Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer, sinner. Christ is the only answer. This is the answer. My peace I give to you. Blessed Jesus. Let us pray.